You are listening to a True Gospel Perspective from our Macedonia Baptist Church ministerial staff. We pray that this message will be a true blessing to you.
There is so much seen and unseen suffering. People are struggling. People are losing their livelihood. It is estimated that over 27 million Americans had to file for unemployment. Our country has passed over $3 trillion in stimulus in hopes of keeping everybody together, keeping everybody afloat. But the truth of the matter is, only God can keep us afloat. No matter how much money you get, no matter how much money you have, it doesn't matter, because it is God who sustains us. What a different time that we're living in that the loss of a loved one, that due to the rampant way that this virus is spread, that we can't even go to a bedside and to comfort a loved one as they make their transition. We can't even hold their hands or whisper in their ears that we love them and that we will see them again. A lot has changed in our lives, but I share with you that God has not changed, that God still sits on the throne, that God still sits high and he looks low. The fact of the matter is that although we have to practice social distancing, if we look at the behavior, if we look at the attitude and the mindset of our country, we've been practicing spiritual distancing from God. God is getting our attention. God is forcing us to really focus on what matters. And what matters right now for you and me is that we have a relationship with God. And that relationship can only be facilitated through accepting the finished works of his son, Jesus Christ. In the fact that Jesus died, that he was buried, and that he rose on the third day. Do you know Jesus for yourself? Although we are living in a period of uncertainty, although we are living in the time that is unlike any other that we have experienced, we have to remember as Christians who we are. And not only do we need to remember who we are, but we have to accept our identity in the fact that we are more. We are more than our circumstances. We are more than our situation. We are more than COVID-19. We are more than the death and despair that is all around us. We are more, and here's why we are more. Because God loves us. God loves us. It's hard to fathom right now that with all the death that's around us, with all the loss of loved ones, it's hard to imagine. And some people may even question God and maybe even question his love for his children. But trust me when I tell you, God knows what he's doing. The reality of our identity as Christians is embedded in Christ. But here's the thing I want us to know, that our identity is not determined by our comfort. Our identity in Christ is determined by how we weather the storms. And if we can remain confident in knowing that God loves us. So the question that we must grapple with this morning is, how do we remain confident in our Christ-given identity? How do we know that we are more? Well, the Apostle Paul is going to share with us in this 8th chapter of Romans, which is again considered to be one of the greatest chapters in the Bible. It's where we truly see the work of the triune Godhead and work in our sanctification process. One writer, I like what this one writer said about it. He says that Jesus is around us, the Holy Spirit is in us, but God is for us. Yeah. What makes the 8th chapter of Romans so wonderful to the believer is how Paul makes this proclamation in verse 1. He says, there is therefore no condemnation, no penalty, no guilty verdict, no punishment. The verdict has been thrown out to those who are in Christ Jesus. There is no condemnation to those. And here's the key, to those who are in Christ Jesus. But not only did Paul start this chapter with this bold proclamation that really relates to our new position in Christ, but he also concludes this chapter with a perpetual promise. In verse 39, he says, nothing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. There are some stark realities that we must face as Christians, that we must face as children of God. Indeed, in order for us to really know that we are more than our circumstances, that we are more than what people can say about us, that we are more than the hurt and pain that we experience, we have to acknowledge that there are some realities in this life that you and I will have to face. The first reality that we must consider that Paul outlines in this 8th chapter is the reality of contrast. The reality of contrast. Indeed, the Christian life is a contrasting life. Let me give you an example. In verse 2, Paul identifies that the law of the Spirit versus the law of sin. In verse 5, he talks about that those who live according to the flesh versus those who live according to the Spirit. In verse 13, he brings the whole thought together where he says that, for if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if you live by the Spirit, you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. The Christian life is a contrasting life. And there is a certain reality that comes with a contrasting life. Sometimes I'm up, sometimes I'm down. Sometimes I feel good, sometimes I don't feel good. Sometimes I have it, and sometimes I don't. We live a contrasting life. But here's something that we need to gain, that we need to understand, that through the various experiences that we have in this life, those experiences are designed to inform us that who we are and who we are in Christ. Paul puts it this way in the 4th chapter of Philippians, where he says, I know how to be abased, which speaks to being empty or not having nothing. And I know how to abound. Everywhere in all things, I have learned both to be full and to be hungry and to abound and suffer need. Indeed, through the experiences that we have in this life, God wants us to learn something. God wants us to know who he is. And the truth of the matter is, if we didn't go through anything, we wouldn't appreciate his love. But not only is there the reality that we live a contrasting life, but there's also the reality of suffering. The reality of suffering. And within this reality, there are two aspects that we have to consider: external and internal. Let's look at the external part of suffering. Paul outlines it here in verse 18, "For I consider," or "I reckon," that the suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Indeed, we are in a time of suffering. Indeed, we are in the time of trials and tribulations. But this should not be something new to us, because Jesus told us that, listen, in this world you will have tribulations, but be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. Indeed, we are going to suffer. And this COVID virus is definitely causing suffering. But listen, we were suffering before the virus came about. It's a part of our life. It's a part of our journey. And the difference is, how do we process the suffering that we go through? It's either that we can draw closer to God, or through suffering we will drive away from God. We make the choice. The suffering of this present time, meaning right now in this moment, is going to have an impact on us, but it's determined by the way that we see God. Do we see God in his love, or do we see him as some type of cruel judge that is administering suffering with no regard? External or outside factors can cause you and I to suffer. And the reason that there is suffering in our world is simply this: we live in a fallen world. And the fact of the matter is, if it was not for suffering, we have to consider and think about this fact that, listen, this place is not our home. There is more to life, that we have the opportunity to spend eternity with God. God has something better than this. The best is yet to come. But not only is there the external factors that we have to consider with our suffering. You know, and one of the things that we need to know, that God does not waste any suffering in the lives of his children. It's all designed with a purpose. He loves us too much. The trials and tribulations that we go through, that everything that we experience in this life, is designed with a purpose. Not only do we have to consider the external suffering, but there's some internal suffering as well. And that internal suffering that Paul is talking about, when you think about the fact that since we realize and know that we have been adopted in the family of God through the work of the Holy Spirit, there is a yearning on the inside of us that we really want to be where the Father is, that we really want to experience the redemption of our lives, that we really want to, you know, complete the process of being glorified. And even Paul references this in verse 26 of chapter 8, where he says that the Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness. For we do not know what we should pray for as we ought. But here it is: the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groaning that cannot be uttered. I remember a couple years ago that our pastor had preached a sermon that was entitled "From Groaning to Glory," where he explained that creation is growing. The believer is groaning. But then also, too, the Holy Spirit is groaning. There's a certain tension on the inside of us that we know that this place is not our home. And yet, while we suffer, we long to be where He is. When it comes to our identity and who we are in Christ, when it comes to knowing and being confident of the fact that we are more, we have to realize that not only is there the reality of contrast, not only is there the reality of suffering, but then there's also the reality of who? The reality of who? As Paul continues to move toward the apex or the climax of this chapter, Paul makes us aware of the who's that are in our lives. In verse 31, he asks the question that if God is for us, who can be against us? In verse 33, Paul says, who shall bring charge against God's elect? In verse 34, Paul also asked the question, who is he who condemns? And lastly, in verse 35, he goes on to say, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? I submit to us that we have to be aware of the who's that are in our lives. The reality is that everybody that you come in contact with is not going to be for you. There are some people that are going to be in opposition. Don't fool yourself. Satan is always busy. And Satan uses people to distract and discourage us from living our lives for God. You have to be aware of the who's that's in your life. But here's the good news that I have for us today, and that there are two other who's that we need to be aware of. In verse 32, it says, he who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? The who that Paul is referencing is God Himself. Don't you know that God is for you? That God did not even hesitate to deliver up His own Son so that you and I can be reconciled back to Him. God created us to be in relationship with Him. Yeah. But then there's another who. In verse 34, and it's identified like this, that it is Christ who died and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who makes intercession for us. Don't you know that Satan is the accuser of the brethren and that he goes before God accusing you and I? But thanks be to God that at his right hand, Jesus is right there. Jesus says to the Father, I paid it all. They're covered under my blood. So not only is there the reality of contrast, there's the reality of suffering, and there's the reality of who. But lastly, as we move forward, our ultimate reality that we must adopt and accept in our hearts and mind is the reality that God's love for us. We must accept the reality of God's love for us. Well, preacher, how do you say that God loves us? Well, in verse 35, it says that who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Paul says, who shall separate us? Who shall try to sever us? Who shall try to divide us? The truth of the matter is, it could never happen because of God's love for us. Yeah. But the truth of the matter is, not everybody is in the us. The us is is registered for those who accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Not everybody is in the us, but if you're living and breathing right now, you have the opportunity to be a part of us. Thank you, Holy Spirit. God has loved us with an enduring love, with an embedded love, and also with an everlasting love. But here it is. The love that is mentioned in this text really speaks to the agape love of God. Agape love. We know that agape love is that love that can only come from God. And Jesus loves us with a selfless love, a sacrificial love, and a sustaining love. There is a reality in the fact that God loves us. But then Paul goes on and outlines seven forms of suffering that you and I can experience in this life. In verse 35, he calls it out. He says, "Shall tribulation," which speaks to an intense pressure that's coming from the outside, or distress, which speaks to being compressed on the inside, or persecution, which speaks to being abused for our testimony in Jesus Christ, or famine, which speaks to being deprived and having without or lacking sustenance, or nakedness without being clothed, or peril, which really speaks to living on the edge of danger, or sword, which really speaks to being martyred. We have to realize and know that the very person that penned these words experienced all seven of these sufferings. Paul himself goes on in 2 Corinthians 4 and 8 and 10, where he says, "Listen, we are hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed," right? But not in despair. And here's the good news. We always carrying about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus may also be manifested in our body. But I love how he concludes the matter in verse 16. "Therefore, we do not lose heart." We do not lose heart. Why? Because Christ is not only around us, but the Holy Spirit is in us to remind us what God has said in his word. In our text, as we continue on in verse 36, Paul says, "As it is written, for your sake, we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter." Paul is really drawing a historical perspective that was recorded in the 44th number of Psalm, verse 22. So why would Paul write such an unsettling verse in the middle of sharing with us how much God loves us? Well, here it is. Here it is. Paul wants you and I to know that even in our worst circumstances, God's love for us will remain unchanged. God's love for us will not change. No matter what condition we find ourselves, no matter what circumstance that we have to endure, no matter what takes place, God's love for you and I will not change. And then here it is in verse 37, where Paul just go ahead and makes the full declaration and makes the full context of what this is all about. "Yet in all these things." And what's interesting about verse 37 is that there's a difference in things. See, the things that Paul is describing are the very things that could possibly, you know, try to disconnect us from God's love, but the truth of the matter is, it cannot. But then Paul also asked the question in verse 31, what shall we say to these things? There's a difference in things. See, in verse 31, Paul is really referring to the work of the Holy Spirit in our adoption, in our redemption, also in our predestination, also in the fact that we are through our justification that will lead to our glorification. In all these things, we are more than conquerors. That means that we exceed victory, that we are not just victorious, but we are beyond victorious, no matter what the circumstances we face. So as we come to a close, I want to remind us today that in spite of all that we are going through, in spite of what this life is taking us through right now, that God is in control. But not only is God in control, but God loves you and I through every circumstance and situation that we face. See, you have to understand our identity. You have to understand who we are in Christ. The fact of the matter is, we are more, because greater is He who is in me than he who is in the world. We are more because weeping may endure for a night, but joy will come in the morning. We are more because we are confident of this very thing, that he who begun a good work in us will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. We are more because God loves us, and that same love of God came down through 40 and two generations. That same love of God went from judgment hall to judgment hall. That same love of God went to a hill called Golgotha. That same love of God was beaten till he was unrecognizable. That same love of God, they put a crown of thorns on his head. That same love of God went on Calvary's cross. Jesus died on that cross. He hung between two thieves. That same love of God said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. That same love of God died on that cross, buried in a borrowed tomb. But early Sunday morning, that same love of God got up with all power in his hand. And that same love reminds you and I that we are more. We are more than conquerors. We are more than the stress that we feel in this life. We are more than the pain that we experience. We are more than the death that surrounds us. Indeed, we are more. And the reason that we are more is because God loved us so. It's our prayer that something has been said that would encourage you. But
we hope you enjoyed this message today. And we pray that it was a true blessing to you. If you are interested in learning more about Pastor Charles D. Twyman and the Macedonia Baptist Church family, you can reach out to us at www.mbcdet.com. Thank you, and God bless you.